See her again. Okay, we're going to say we're all more or less on the same page. I'm going to try to speak in a common way that those who have started the sugya a little later, those who started a little earlier, will be able to both be able to benefit. So for some of you, it might be something of a chazara. For some of you, it'll be new. But hopefully, there'll be a davar shenischadish ba as well. That's the rule, that when sometimes things are repeated, the shvil drum shenischadshit. So everyone read the Gemara here. And the Gemara approaches the sugya bai barava have machokes about a balchov who collects a shibud. What type of shibud? There's some discussion in the Rishonim, the nature, a special type of a shibud, a regular shibud. Shibud means that the malve can collect from the assets of the lobe. Stama shibud is karka. You can be meshabed metalchlin as well if you so designate. But this discussion has to do with karka. And ultimately, if the lobe defaults, the malve will seize the property, the real estate of the lobe for the chov. That's called cashing in on the shibud. According to Abaye, that collection of the shibud is viewed as lemafreya hu gove, that the malva already owned that piece of land from the beginning, from the time of the halva. And Rava disagrees and says, no, mikana lahaba hu gove, meaning from the time he collects it, not from before. The Gemara explains the reasoning for both. Abaye says, since the time came and the loba defaulted, so we gloy nilsa, we say from the very outset it was his. And Rava says, no, because after all, the loba had the option of being misal gezuz, they're paying the chov, and therefore it's only mikana lahaba. So after laying down the machlokas, the Gemara says, one thing should be clear. They're arguing in one case and not in the other. The case that the Gemara presents as the machlokas case is Agdish Malve. If the Malve himself was Makdish that karka or sold that karka in the interim period, would that Hegdish take effect? Would that Mechira take effect? According to Abaye, yes, because it's considered like it was his. Since he collects later, it really was his from before. Exactly how that works, we have to also think about, but that's Abaye's Shita. And Rava says no, because until then, the Lova was the owner, and therefore the Malva's Hagdasha, the Malva's Mechira would not work. That's where the Bia Machlokas. The Gemara begins, though, by saying that the case, there's another case that all would agree to, and that is the case of Agdish Lova, Vizavin Lova. So here, one could have thought that here, Abaye and Rava would also disagree, namely, Would it be possible for the Malva to collect his shibud once there was a chalos hegdish or a chalos mechira? Seemingly, the Lova now acted in his capacity of the owner of these nechasim, of the karka, to be magdish or to sell it. So perhaps you would say, according to Abaye, it wouldn't be valid. He couldn't sell it since the Malva had a shibud, and when he collects the shibud, it's as if it was his from before. So the Lova, therefore, couldn't sell what's not his. But according to Rava, who holds mikano l'haba hu gove, so therefore the mechira and the hegdish should be chal to the extent that the malva will be out of luck. He won't be able to collect the shibud once it gets already passed to the other resource of hegdish or the lokeach. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Because kuyam lo pligi, the asi malva the tarif, the asi malva uparik. The Gemara changes the words tarif and parik because of a technicality. What it means is that the malva has the right to seize those assets, be it from a lokeach, be it from hegdish. The only slight difference is when it comes to hegdish, there has to be a token pidyon, and Rashi quotes from Gemara in Erechin, because otherwise it might appear that something is hegdish and suddenly it became not hegdish without pidyon, and that doesn't look good. Therefore, the malva gives another dinar, a small amount. He will add it to the halva, he'll get compensated the pashtas for that, and then he seizes those assets. Basically, it's not a real pidyon, it's only, right, to cover up, it shouldn't look, it should have this yotzi below pidyon. But the common idea is that the malva does have the right to seize those assets for his chov, even according to who? Even according to Rav. Kuyama lo pligi. Okay, so you read the Gemara by itself, and it sounds reasonable, right? Why is it true that for Rav as well, the malva can seize those assets? So the answer is, for Abaye, there's nothing to talk about. For Abaye, it's because the lova is not the owner. He couldn't act to be able to transfer those nechasim, because Mefeyahu Gove, when the Malveh comes to collect later, he always had it. But according to Rava, we could say, also, why can the Malveh get it? Because he had a shibud. So he had a right to collect those nechasim for his chov. That's what shibud means. So the fact that the Malveh made a transfer to Hegdish and transferred to Lokeach, but the Malveh comes to the Lokeach, comes to Hegdish, says, but I have a right to collect these nechasim. My shibud. So if I have a shibud, so you can't keep it. I'm going to cash in on my shibud. I have a shibud from before. That's how you and I would have thought if we read the Gemara without looking at Rashi. Now, I don't remember if we actually read the Rashi yesterday in Shia, you'll remind me, but let's read the Rashi either way again. Rashi says, Kohecha da'akdish lova nechasa b'tochas man. Rashi says that the case is that the lova was magdish, the nechasim, within the time. Really, in Medayik, Rashi could have also included, maybe, if the Mova did it after this man, but before the point of the Malvasi, wanting to collect. Also, Rashi says, B'tochas man. Izabin lova, or Zabin lova meaning machron lacherin, either of those cases. Kuyama lo pligi. Even though Rabbah holds that until late, till now, when the mother is collecting, it's b'shus loveh modahu in mechira. So achirim mechira, they nekdesho hegdish. He agrees that the mechira is not a mechira, and the hegdish is not a hegdish. The loveh didn't have the power to affect the transfer. Because of the fact that this land is mortgaged for the malveh, that is undermining, compromising the full koach of the loveh to act on these nechasim. What is the nature of the chesaron? The Rashi, as we have it here, and we're going over that girsa, a few afagav she'en shalom, granted they're his. Rava holds that it is going to be shalom, because even after the collection, it doesn't mean it wasn't shalom. It was the loveh, but eina b'shuso. Brahman Amar Ishkiyagdish is Beso Kodesh, Ma Beso Bishuso of Kobishuso. The rule is that a person who's Magdish has to have control over that which is Magdish. And if it's not Bishuso, you have no koach to be Magdish. That's Russia. It's classically used in connection to a case of a person who's a Nigzal. Something was stolen from him. And he wants to be Magdish, that which is technically his, but he doesn't have access to it because the Gazan took it from him. So the Gemara says that neither the Gazan nor the Nigzal has a koach to be Magdish. The Gazan is not shalom, he can't be Magdish, what's not his. And the Nigzal also can't be Magdish, it's Eino Bershuso. So Rashi is using that same idea of Eino Bershuso, which is a chesaron typically by a Nigzal, and says so to a Lover, just a second, a Lover who has something that the Malva has a right to collect from, because it's Meshuba to the Malva. That is considered eina bershuso, because someone else who has a schus in this that compromises the full koach of the lova to act, it's ki'ilu, it's eina bershuso. What is mechudash in this Rashi? Go ahead.
It seems that the psos refers to the same sheet as Rashi. The Rashi we wrote that mechira.
Same issue, Mechir. Someone asked me yesterday. Lechor, the same drasha. For now, we'll keep it simple. The drasha of Eina B'shuso of Hegdish would apply to Mechira as well. There are nuances, but I would not try to go there now. I would say the same chesaron. Same issue, Mechira and Hegdish. Okay, we'll try to keep it simple, you know. So therefore, what's Mechudash in this Rashi? Ari. No, but so the Rove, why you see, what is the problem? Why can't the Rove be Magdish? Because it's Eina B'shuso. Why is it Eina B'shuso? Because the Malva has a stake in it. That's Shibud. Good. But the very fact that the Malva has that schus, should the Rove default to seize his nechassim, that itself makes Eina B'shuso. That's exactly the point. In a Chanami. Who does it belong to? The Lover. But in order to affect Hegdish, and now I'm going to equate Mechira with Hegdish, right? You need to have not just Shalom, you need to have Bershuso. And the fact that the Malva has over this, these Nechasim, this Shibud, which entitles into the land, should the Lover default, that very reality that there's someone here who has a Schus on that which you own, compromises the full control that you have over the nechas. That's exactly what the picture Rashi is painting for us. And that's a davar chadash that the Ksos points out, how Rashi understood the nature of the Gemara's line of that Rava agrees that the Malva can seize those assets because the Lova had the inability to affect that transfer. Again, why is that a chiddush? Because what we would have said was the malva can collect because he has a shibut, and it's that simple. So he goes to whoever has the land and says, I have a shibut. What apparently you see in this Rashi is that that wouldn't have been good enough. Why? Either malva has a shibut on it, but the answer is the shibut is not just stam, I have a right to that land. Shibut means by definition, I have the right to the land because of the chov. I have a right to collect the chov from that land. That's what shibut means. So maybe Rashi will hold that if I'm going to the debtor himself to collect, then I have a right to take the land for my chov from you, the lovin. But if I'm going to another party, to Okeach, to Hegdish, they have no shaykhus to the chov. So what gives me the right to collect, even though I have a shibut, but I'm coming to someone who has no shaykhus to the chov, and it's only because of the chov that I have a right to collect. And therefore, it wouldn't be enough to say that I can simply take what is coming to me because I have a schus in that land. What you have to say is something more profound, more subtle, and more deep. And namely, it's because to the extent that there's a shibud, that which the malva has as a shibud is coming at the expense of the koach of the transfer. So it's as if the transfer itself has a bug in it, has something that's deficient in it. Namely, the fact that there is a shibud that the malva has. So to the extent that the malva wants to actualize that schus, to that extent, the mechira never got off the ground. The hekdesh never got off the ground. That's the picture that Rashi is explaining. And that's why Rava would also agree to Abaye. And therefore, it's not just that Rava agrees in the din to Abaye, but in a certain way, Rava is also agreeing to the mechanism that what Abaye says prevents the Lokeach and Hegdash from holding onto this land. What allows the Malva to seize that land for Abaye is the fact that there was a chesaron in the shalom of the Lover being Magdish and the Lover being Mocher. Because Rafael Gove, so Hagufa, the fact that I'm going to collect means I always had it. So Rava partially acknowledges that. Not as far as Abaye goes, that the Malva could be Magdish and the Malva could be Mocher. In a Shiloh, on a Shiloh level, it's the Loves. But the Rava embraces the idea that the Malva's Shibud can do something to undermine the actual transfer, the Chalos, the Kinyan, the Hegdish, the Mechir. So, and again, so Rashi kind of saw between the lines of the Gemara that the Kuyam Elo Prigi is not just that everyone agrees that this is going to be what's going to happen, but that Kuyam Elo Prigi is that Rava understands Shibud also to have a certain ability to inhibit the Koach of the Lova from act. For Abaye, it's more obvious. For Rava, it's more subtle because Rava is not willing to grant the Shiloh to the Malva. Ad kedei kach that he could be Malvish. No. Shiloh is the lover, but it's eino b'shuso of the lover to be able to act to transfer that land to the hegdish to the lokeach. That's Rashi's read on the Gemara, and we noted that the Rashba in Gittin Daf Mem Amud Beis, when he, as I noted to the post Pesach fellows, that the Rashba says in Daf Mem Amud Beis in Gittin when he quotes our Gemara. Now, I don't know if this is his girsa or his interpretation of the words of Agamara, but either way, here's what he says. The harmina b'psachim, b'pukta d'abai v'rava, hikdish lova v'zavin lova, dekule alma lo asa v'lo klum. And then you have here the asi nava utarif, asi nava uparik. So the Rashba puts, as he quotes the Gemara, he puts in the words that what is it that everyone agrees? By Hikdash Lova Zavin Lova, the Kuli Alma, Lo'asa Velo'kum. That's Mamish what the Rashi is saying here. It's not just the Kuli Alma that the Malva will be able to seize those assets. It's the Kuli Alma, the Lo'asa Velo'kum, that the Mechira, that the Hegdish is invalid. It's invalid. Again, whether that was the Girsa of the Rashba or his take on the Gemara, I don't know. But it's Mamish the Pshat that we see in our Rashi. And if you look at Ibn David, you'll get the same sense here. Ibn David uses a Russian to Amza. You'll take a look in the language there as well. Now, how far do we... Now, we really need to think more carefully about this. And that's where the Ksos comes in with his Bam Kasha on Rashi. And he's going to connect it to the other Rashi that we'll see in a minute as well. The Ksos says, I don't understand something. If this is what Rashi is telling us, that the reason why the Rava, you can, the Malva can still take the land from the Lokeach, from Hegdish, is because the Lover lacks the ability to be able to transfer the transfer the land through Hekdesh to Mechira because it's Eino B'Shusa, because of that Shibud. Says the Ksos, so why, in fact, if the Lova does pay, now I ask you, if the Lova pays the Chov at the due date, but before he did that, he sold the land to Lokeach. Is the sale valid or has to be redone? What's the obvious answer? I don't know. Can you hear me, guys? Oh, it's a different link. Ari. You have to get them on the other link. I'm so bad. There's two different Zooms. Okay, so we'll take a little intermission here for a second. I feel bad. Okay. Thank you for finally telling us, because this is okay. Is this a way to do it from where you are? Yeah, because it's two different Zooms. Yeah, that was the issue. No wonder. I see this. Okay. We should have realized, right? Okay, thank you. Thank you for. Okay, we just. Any questions, meanwhile, just before we get this fixed? Any questions? So, what is Ksos's question? We just bring out the question and then we'll open the floor, right? So, L'chora, the Ksos says something very simple. If this is correct, L'maisa, if it's not a cancellation, the guys who are not on the Zoom have heard this already. So, okay, the Ksos is kasha, we spoke at already upstairs. But meanwhile, are you fixing it? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so let them know. The Ksos is kasha for the regular year. Okay. And you can see it inside if you wish. You want to look inside and see it? Let's take a look. Okay. The Ksos is Kufya Zion. Paragraph begins with Rashi Matsanu. I'm obviously not doing everything inside because of time, but we'll see the paragraph. Rashi Matsanu Oshita Cheres. Yeah. So he quotes, he says, Hine Rashi Heire Neinu B'divik Kacho Bazet. Okay, hopefully we'll see more people coming on the screen now as we, I see it already. Okay. We apologize. There was a glitch, but okay. Baruch Hashem. Rashi Heire Neinu Bazet, right? You see the Ksos quotes the Russian Rashi. This is Ksos Kuf Yud Zayin. I think it's Sifkat and Beis. In the middle of the long Ksos, he references Al Rashi, and he says that what we see in Rashi is the Afagav the Rabban Kanal Abu Gove Afilo Hachi Ena Beshusa Mikri Kema Din Mushkanin Hen Eitzel Amalva Abidavish Ena Beshusa Ukach Ena Lov Yachol Mochon Olag Bishan Elu Desfiru Eid Gam Amalva Ena Yachol Olag Bishan Olam Kormish Ena Ena Shelo Adayin Din Kin Shneim Ena Chom Lahagdish. And he quotes that Gemara Bava Kama Samach Tes, right, by Gaza Mitzash Labayim, if a person steals and there was no use, neither the Gazlin nor the Nigzau are in a position to affect a Hegdish. The Afagad En on the Chasim Kodim Gvir Asher HaMalve, the Malve cannot be said to own these assets before it collects, according to Rava. El Asher Lover, Mikom Makom HaShibut Asa'o Kidavish Ena Beshuso. In other words, the Shibut makes it Ena Beshuso. U'ahachi Ena Lover Yachol Mochon Achim U'adisha. The chitema in Cain. Here's his cash. Ki asi achakach lovam masal b'chol bezuzay nami tispata la machira. Kevin to b'shasa machira v'davash ena b'shuso. So if at the time of the machira, it was constituting a situation of a lova whose handle, whose control on the nechasim is shaky, it's not so tight, it's there's a shibud hovering here that allows the malva to potentially seize it. If that mitzius, that this reality, halachic reality of a shibud that the malva has over those nechashim, is considered to be strong enough to chip away, to undermine the lova's ability to transfer its kodein b'shusa effectic. So what if the lova does pay? But as far as the machira that was done, it should not count for anything. You want to sell it to him now, say the gamur. But that machira, that hegdish, should not have taken effect, because at the time that he was doing it, it was ena b'shusa. Everyone hear the kash? So the Ksos goes his way with this. He has a chidush of a teretz. He wants to compare it. I'm not going to do now because of the time issue. But he wants to compare it to a person who says, I want to be magdish a field that right now is mortgage to somebody else, but I could be poda it and then get it back to myself. I want it to be hegdish because I have the biyado to be poda it. So he says it's something similar over here. Since the lover has the option of paying the chov, he can also sell it because of the ability he has to be able to access the karka back. A hard analogy to swallow, because the chora number one, that case he specifically said likisha evdena apishena. Here he said nothing, he just sold it. So how could you assume it's identical to the case where he actually says, I want to be magdish it for, because I could be poder. He said so. Also the timing of it. The ksos makes it sound that to l'mafbeya, l'chore it should be l'mafbeya, it should be only from the time of the later point. So this is ksos's kasha, and he wants to give it teretz. We began to think on a more lumdish level to take this question maybe head on and say, perhaps it's not a question. And this because, and this is going to help us for the other half of the ksos, which I began yesterday for the post-Pesach, but I think we'll just maybe we'll see. Let's see if we can, trying to see if we should try to bring that in as well in the ksos. How many of you got to the Rashi and the ksos discussing the Rashi on Hegdish Mafkia Midei Shibut? Okay. Okay, so I'm not going to go there yet, but what we're going to say now is going to help us. And when you do this, maybe Chazar over Shabbos, maybe you'll be ahead of the game for next year, because, again, I'm not going to go there completely, but just to let you know as follows. There is another part of this, and that's the Rashi on Asi Malva Uparik, which we should have to read Pasha for the Gemara and Rashi. And Rashi has a question and gives an answer. We did this yesterday at the end of Shir with the post-Pesach guys. Rashi continues and says, maybe we'll just read it. Rashi says, Asi Malva Uparik, Mina Hegdish, Bidava Mua, Kidei Shulo Yom Hegdish Yotze Buopidion, Ligo Bechovo, Kitnan Be'erchin. Rashi quotes the Mishnah Erchin, that if a person is Magdish at a certain amount of money, Tishamana, the Chov was more than that. The Malva adds a token dinar, and he's pulled in the Chasim, Yad Hegdish. And the Gemara explains, Shulo Yom Hegdish Yotze Buopidion. Fet Rashi Akash. The Afag Abdama Rava. Rava has the following statement. Three things can cause a Shibud to unravel, to not to be actualized. Shibud means the potential to collect. But there are three things that can that can cause the Shibud not to be able to come to fruition. And those three things are called Hegdish, Chametz, and Shichru. Something is Meshubud, and if one of these things happens, again, each thing has to be explained in its own terms. Shechur means Yimashach of the Eved. Chametz means comes Pesach, becomes Aser Bahana. We're not going to explain the details of those two things, even though we should come back at least to Chametz, that we'll have to do. And Hegdish is what we want. Means that if something is Meshubit for a Chov, and the debtor in the interim is Magdish. So that is actually going to mean that the shibud cannot be actualized. The mouth is out of luck. Hekdish mafkia midei shibud. In fact, Rashi is simple kasha. That if hekdish mafkia midei shibud, then how can we say in this Gemara that the lover who's magdish the assets that are mishubud to the mouth can go to hekdish, give a token dinar, and seize them? To the contrary, hekdish should mean that the shibud doesn't work, that the malva is unable to be able to collect on his shibud because of the hegdish. So here we see that the shibud beats the hegdish and he basically never, right, hegdish didn't happen, ki'ilu, or whatever it is, he takes it from hegdish. And here we see hegdish nafkia midish. This is Rashi's question. Comes Rashi with the teretz, and he says, you see, it depends what type of hegdish we're talking about. There's what's called Kiddush HaSaguf and what's called Kiddush HaSdamim. Kiddush HaSaguf is karban. The Cheftz itself has the status of a karban. Kiddush HaSdamim is what we call Beit HaKabayis, treasury. Hegdish owns the value, but it's not the exim thing that's kadosh, and there's halachas that distinguish between them. Can you be poder? Kiddush HaSdamim? Yes. Can you be poder Kiddush HaSaguf? An animal that's a kosher animal? Tamim without a mum, can you be transferred the kedusha off of it? No, you need to wait. There's halachas. You have to wait till certain things. Till there's a mum, then you can be poded. You can't just pode something that's kadosh kedusha saguf. Says Rashi, this halacha of hegdish kedusha shibud is only said by Kedushas Haguf. And Rashi says what that means is Hagdish. It also means Konamos, which is a neder that is making something usser as if it were a carbon. That's the equivalent of Kedushas Haguf of Hagdish. Rashi also throws in, interestingly, the Isser Hanah from a mace. He brings the Gemara in Yevamos. Again, we have to go back at the specifics, but this is the case Rashi brings from Yevamos. Tosis points out that's like Kedushas Haguf. It doesn't have to say that's Mafkib. That's part of the Ruh Hagdish Mafkib Deshiva. If something is usser Bahanah, like a mace, and then you put something on it to service it, to cover it, that also becomes Asa Bahana. So that kind of thing, which even though that blanket, you could say, that was put on the mace was mishuvah to a malva, the malva can't collect anymore because now that the blanket becomes the status of the mace, Asa Bahana, that's like Hekbis Makim Deshibu. What's in common to that is the chefza itself takes on the status of Isser, of Hegdish. Masha'inke Kedushas Damim is different. Now, Rashi does not explain why there should be a difference. And here is where the other part of the Ksos is going to be relevant. Because, again, we don't have time to go there, but Tosis and Gittin Daf Mem, which is what we have to go to next to look at. Tosis and Gittin Daf Mem starts on the days, goes on to the Malach, but it's the beginning of that Tosis. It's also Baba Kamet Daf Sadi, the same Tosis, same Svara, tries to offer an explanation. What's the difference? Manafsha. Why is Kedushas Damim not Mafkim Edei Shiva? Why is Kedushas Haguf Mafkim Edei Shiva? Tosis says something, and the Ksos says that something that Tosis says cannot square with Rashi. Tosis says, Kedushas Damim, once the Hegdash takes effect, there's no way this Haguf, it can't be taken away. It can't unravel it because there's no pidyon. This is damim, there's always pidyon. So shibud is not worse than pidyon. That's what Tosus says. Therefore, this is haguf, which takes effect, shibud is not going to break it. This is damim, which anyway you can be poed there, so the shibud can also break it. Says the Ksos, that cannot work with Rashi. Because what did Rashi say about why the Baal Chov can collect from the assets after the Hegdash, after the Mechira? Because the Lover lacked Rishuso. So therefore, it comes out, even Kedushas Haguf, whatever he was Magdish, should have never taken effect to begin with. Because it's not Rishuso. And therefore, how could Rashi say Hegdash Mavkim Deshiva, but Kedushas Haguf, any more than Kedushas Damim, the same Chesara of Kedushas Damim, that the lover can be Magdish because if any Rishuso should exist by Kedushas Haguf. So Tosus' reason doesn't square with Rashi. Rashi's going to have a different explanation to distinguish between the two. So that's where the other part of the Ksos is going to be relevant. What we're going to say now, second, is address the first kasha of the Ksos, but when you hear it, and you hear it well, I think we'll be able to see why the other kasha of the Ksos on the pshat of Rashi and the reason for distinguishing this damim might also not be a problem for Rashi, but that's the next level. Yeah. So Tosis says, but I said very quickly. Tosis says that, and we have to read it aside, so we haven't yet. Tosis says that I'm going to give it to you in a very, very bare bones way. That since we know that Kedushas damim allows for pidyon, it's very easy to get the Kedusha off. Kedusha Saguf, once it's chal, there's no normal way to get the Kedusha removed. It sticks. Says Tosis, I'll tell you what the difference is. Shibud versus a Hegdish, they're coming out against each other, right? There's a Shibud, and now there's a Hegdish by the person who owed something that this is Meshubud to that chal. Now there's Hegdish. Well, the Shibud be able to extract it from Hegdish, or will Hegdish remain and the Shibud evaporates? What beats what? So Rashi says, Kedushas Damim, you can collect from Hegdish. That's the Gemara here. Kedushas Haguf, Hegdish Mavkia Midei Shibud, and he's out of luck, the Shibud can no longer be actual. Those are the words of Rashi. Rashi doesn't explain the reason. Says Tosis and Bavakam Daf Sadi Gid Daf Nemam Beis. The difference is, Kedushas Damim, which again, I'm not explaining well, just simply bare bones. This is damim, this potential for pidyon. So even though there's a hegdish, but easy come, easy go. In other words, it lends itself to being right, to being reversed. Pishas Sagof is irreversible. Be'etzem. You don't can't have pity. Therefore, Shibud cannot be better than Pidyon. If it's not subject to Pidyon, then you can't say that Shibud will be able to also take it. Because once it's Chal, it sticks. Pishas Damim, it could be Chal, but it doesn't have to stick. Because you can be potent. Follow me, Rabbi? Yeah? So this is what Tosa says is the difference. Why does Ixos say it's incompatible with Rashi? You can anticipate. Why is it incompatible with Rashi? Because what did Rashi say as far as why you can collect from Hegdash? Because the Gova lacked the ability to be Magdash. If the Lover had to be Magdash, then you can't say that it sticks if it never stuck to begin with. You with me? He couldn't be Magdash. So why is Pishas Aguf going to be any better? Must be that Rashi has a different explanation to distinguish between the two. And what Tosus must have read the Gemara is not the way Rashi read the Gemara. Tosus would say, why can the Malva collect from the Hegdish, from the Lukuchos? Because he has a Shibud, that's all. Not because the Lover lacked the ability. Lover had the ability and became Hegdish for a poor period of time. And then the Malva takes it away. So Quentin Xos comes at the two different Mahalchim, both in reading the Gemara and in reading and understanding the distinction to Kedushas Haguf and Kedushas Damim with regard to the din of Hegdash Mafkim Edishi. So I want to just come back to leave you with the following, and I think this is going to, the next challenge is to be able to take this Gemara and apply also to the issue of Hegdash. But let me just try to give you a machshava in terms of the first kasha of the Xos, which was, if this is to be taken literally in Rashi, that it's because of the Shibud that is called Ena B'Shuso for the Lova to be Magdish, to be Molcher. So why, if he pays, is it any different? And I want to think about it as follows. Because what does it mean that because of the Shibud that the Malva has over these assets, the Lova is considered to be lacking control? In what sense? The potential that the Malva has to collect if the Lover defaults. That creates Ena B'Shuso. But the Ena B'Shuso, let's take Abaye, for example. Abaye says, if he collects, then it's his from the beginning, right? Whatever Kenyan or not Kenyan you're gonna think about, but that's what Abaye says. What gave it to him from the beginning? What gave it to him? The schus he had to collect awards it to him when he collects. What he has now is a derivative of the schos he has. To collect later is what awards it to him in entirety from now. It's a derivative of the schos. The schos that he cashes in on retroactively can be understood to be a real bialus that he could be magdishit. But what is the bialus on? The bialus is on what the schos is. So for example, we discussed peiros, shvach, that grows on the ground, on the land in the interim. That's not part of what the Shibud is in terms of Schus HaShibud. So you couldn't say that's his from the beginning. If the Lover's living in that house all this time, Abaye is not going to say that the Lover has to pay rent to the Malva because the Malva had it from the beginning, so he's entitled to rent. Because the rent is not defined as part of the Schus he has for the Chol. What he has is a right to have the land. So what he has a right to have is what we can say he had, but not more than that. So the schus of the Shibud, as it's defined, is what you can say was shelo. In a similar way, according to Rava, what chips away at the reshuso of the Lova is the schus that the Malva has to collect. But that schus is very circumscribed, because that schus is within the framework of the lova defaulting. For the lova to default is why the malva is. That schus is defined as I have it for the chov if you don't pay the money. If you pay the money to the chov, then there is no, the schus is only on the terms of your defaulting. To the extent that the Shibud is defined by the Lova's defaulting, the Ena B'Shuso that results from that for Rava that the lova loses the ability to do something with these assets because of that shibud, because of that schus, is also only compromised to the same extent that there is such a schus for the mouth. And therefore, in the event that the lova does comply with the terms of paying the chov, then it turns out he really had every right to sell it, and that mechira koach was not inhibited either. That's, I think, a very subtle nekuda that has to be thought about more carefully. But if you can embrace it and digest it, I think it can help us a lot in terms of the other aspect of the ksos and beyond that in the sugya. I think that's the haschala here to think about it. In other words, whatever the shibud gives to the malve is what it takes away from the lova. And therefore, the ksosis kasha was, why would the lova be able to sell it? Even if he paid the chov later, the sale should be bought. The answer is, it's not an absolute ena b'shuso. The ena b'shuso is defined in terms of what the schus of the shibud is, and the schus of the shibud is that the lova will not pay. That's what gives it to me for abaya legamre, or what takes away from the lova's koach for rava is identical. Namely, the idea that I can seize that land if you don't pay. So it's only within that context that the lova lost his koach to be mocha, to be magdish. Okay, if we can digest that svara a little bit, then I think we have a lot more wiggle room in terms of being able to finesse a lot of things that sound at first glance to be at odds with each other, maybe not. Okay, I think it's kedai if we have a little bit of a chance to just talk a little bit in Yad HaYoma. So maybe basically for this, to continue, we have to go to the Ksos, see the other part, see the Ksosis in Gittin, and also in Bava Kama Dachsadi, and we'll try to get more into the Inyan Fisha Saguf. And then, of course, the Rashi Bava Tzias could I look at, very important Rashi, at first glance, again, against our Rashi. I did mention this to the Shir, but the guy from Pesach, remember, the Rashi in Erechin, L'chore, is a different Mahalach in the Gemara. Rashi says, Eina Shalom, not Eina B'shuso. Some sofer was Magia Al Rashi, but we're going with our Rashi for the Girsa that we have and the Ksosis understanding. Okay, so those of you on Zoom can stay on. We're going to have a little bit of